Text for this morning's chapel comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, the first 14 verses. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. All the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" I'm sure that some of you have received a wedding invitation. If you've ever received one, then you can picture how they read. Usually the wording of the invitation goes along these lines: "Mr. and Mrs. Groom's parents and Mr. and Mrs. Bride's parents joyfully invite you to the wedding of bride and groom on the given date, at the given time, at the given location, with a reception to follow at a different location. Make sure to RSVP by this date." Receiving one of these invitations can be very exciting. Upon opening the letter and seeing such a beautifully ornate invitation for one of your closest friends' weddings, you might just RSVP immediately. But what if you said no? Now, I understand that people have legitimate reasons to politely say no to the invite, but what if you flat out say, "I don't feel like it. It's not worth my time." Or just as bad, say, "Yeah, but I don't really want to be there. I don't want to be mean, though, so I'll just throw a sweater over my clothes, a nice sweater over my clothes, that is, and leave before the ceremony ends so no one will notice." That would be horrible in either case. But sadly, I can tell you about a wedding where that has happened. You see, I've been invited to this wedding, and I know you all have been too. In fact, all people have. But many have rejected and disrespected the invite. Thankfully, though, even though we were sinners who never could accept such an invitation, we can still count ourselves as honored guests at the wedding feast of God's kingdom because of Jesus Christ. We see here in the parable that the Lord's gospel message has gone on throughout the world, and many people have rejected it. Starting with the nation of Israel, there were many among them who did not hear the Lord's voice. The Lord had sent out his messengers among them to share with them the gospel, and they simply turned it down. If you look at the history of Israel, you will see countless times how the hand of the Lord's gracious gospel was slapped away. "I don't have time for that," or "what good is that for me?" These are the answers of those sinners of old, and they don't sound any different from the sinners of today. "I don't have time for church. I believe in science, not some medieval god. My parents used to make me believe, but I'm my own person now." Whatever the excuse may be, these are outright slaps in the face of God's gospel. And the whole point of Jesus telling this parable was to get the Pharisees and all sinners who were to follow them in the ages to come to see just what exactly they were doing and what they were turning down. Jesus is pointing this out to show that those who reject God's gracious gospel are left to be unworthy to join his heavenly court. This sinful response is like the "I don't feel like it" or "it's not worth my time" that I mentioned earlier. Imagine saying that to a friend's wedding invite. That would be awful. With God here, it's 1,000 times worse. We see here what God's response is to this blatant rejection of his gospel. But we also see his response to more subtle forms of rejection as well. In the parable, after the messengers had gone out and gathered enough guests to fill the wedding hall, there was one guest who did not have a wedding garment. The king approached him after noticing and kicked him out of the party. So what's that supposed to mean exactly? Jesus is showing once again that all rejection is to be addressed, no matter how strong it is. He did say that many are called, but few are chosen. Many have rejected God's gospel. They do it in subtle ways as well as blatant ones. People can act like they have faith, but they don't have the wedding garment of faith, so to speak. I go to church because it makes my parents happy. My wife or husband insists on it, and I don't want to upset them. And many other thoughts like these happen, but these are all still rejections of God, whether it be a simple following of the motions of being a Christian or an outright rejection of God's word. These are all rejections, and God responds in the same way to all of them. He casts them out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So does this strike you? Does this make you think, man, this is not a wedding I want to miss? Jesus did say that many are called, but few are chosen. There will be many that turn the master's call away. But really, there are none that deserve the call in the first place, including ourselves. But remember that the call is all about God's grace. Remember that today's parable is talking about the kingdom of God. It's talking about the kingdom. It's talking about his gracious gospel and how he sends it out to all people. Jesus didn't say many are called, but none are chosen. He said there are few chosen, and we are numbered as those few, as those who are chosen in Christ. God adopted us as his children. He chose and invited us to be his wedding guests, and he did so through the sacrificial death of his son, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we are invited to join him in the halls of heaven in order to celebrate the victory of Christ and to join the church triumphant, that is, our fellow believers in the promised Christ who has given us his salvation. This chosen status shall be a comfort for us. We are to be guests of the greatest wedding of all time. We are to be guests in God's eternal bliss because of the calling and inviting done through the Holy Spirit. We are to be guests because Jesus has reconciled us to God. We are now friends and children of the most loving God. So do you ever have doubts? Do you ever think of the horrible things that you've done that may disqualify you from this invitation? Do you fear that your faith won't last and this invitation will go away, or that you won't be able to bear the awful agonies of this world anymore? Well, let's open this invitation letter together and read what it says. Come to me, all you who are weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does he do this? How does God give us rest? Let's take a look at what Paul says concerning this. Those that God predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. His eternal love called you and me into his kingdom through his sacrificial death and given by his son, Jesus Christ. We are now invited to join the halls of heaven. We now, through faith, possess the forgiveness of sins. Those worries can be cast aside, for we can be certain that God will see us through to the pearly gates of his gracious wedding banquet, that is heaven. God has called, and many have answered poorly. This we know. But in his invitation given to us by the Holy Spirit, we have been brought to salvation, and will praise him forevermore in heaven. So, you're invited to the greatest wedding, the greatest blessing of all time. Amen. We will close with hymn 330, the first two verses.